Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedorim Daf Nun. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 3 lines from the top of Daf Nun. On the side, you'll notice how we've written in the margin, under the topic heading No Say, Rabbi Akiva, Nisuav Lebita Shel Kalba Savua. We'll be discussing a lot about Rabbi Akiva, and hence you can see in the Gemara text we have a rare marking around Rabbi Akiva, the firebox marking, which demonstrates that we'll be occupied with a Rabbi Akiva discussion for quite a while. So there's certainly the balance of this Omid of Gemara and going on to Omid Beis. His marriage to the daughter of one of the great philanthropists of the Jewish people of his time, Kalba Savua, and Oshro, the wealth that Rabbi Akiva amassed. Now the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva is kachis lei barte de Kalba Savua. Rabbi Akiva married the daughter of Kalba Savua. One should understand that at this point in Rabbi Akiva's life, he was what we would call an Am HaOretz. He was not a Torah giant that he eventually became. And he married the daughter of one of the great leaders of the Jewish people of his time. And this, of course, was a source of great disappointment that a man who was, we would call him a farmhand, ended up marrying the daughter of this leading individual. Shoma Kalba Savua. Kalba Savua got wind of it. He heard about this. And very simply put, Kalba Savua, the father, did not marry off his daughter. She initiated the marriage. Rabbi Akiva, of course, offering her something in exchange for her agreeing to marry him, and she did so. Father hears about it. Adro Hano Mikol Nichse. He imposed a vow of prohibition on his daughter from benefiting from all of his properties. Azlo Veis Nesivo Le Besisvo. She went and consummated her marriage, entered Nisuin. That's the consummation of the marriage to Rabbi Akiva in the winter months. Now, she can't benefit at all from any of her father's properties. He, Rabbi Akiva, has no real financial means of support. Havagonu beitivna. They ended up sleeping in a straw storage facility, simply out of their impoverished state. Havakomankit lei tivna min mazya. As far as translating this, you might run into different translations. The Ran says, "Min mazya hoya malake hateven misarosel." He was picking straw out of her hair. The Rashi says, "Tivno min mazya have komankit lei tivno min mazya have malake." Rashi says, "Have malake hateven misaro." She was picking straw out of his hair. Either way, there was straw being picked out of the hair. Omar law, Rabbi Akiva says to his wife, "Ihavoi li, if I had the means, Ramino lech Yerushalayim didavo, I would place upon you." In other words, I would buy a special ornament that is called the Golden Jerusalem. It's a it's featured also in Maseches Shabbos. It's a type of golden headband that had the form of the Jerusalem skyline. A very expensive type of jewelry. And so he says, if I would be able to do so, I would get that for you. Interestingly, we'll see later in the story that Rabbi Akiva, in fact, becomes very wealthy, and the Rashi quotes the Gemara in Shabbos that indicates that, in fact, he did eventually get one of these for her. So they're right now in their impoverished state, sleeping on straw. Os Elio Hanovi, the prophet Elio, came idmi lahon, and he appeared in disguise, Ka'ansha, as a man. Even though at this point in time Elio would classify him as an angel, but he appears from time to time as in disguise, and here he appears as a man, as a poor man. The Kokori Abovan, he knocks at the door of this straw stable. Omar Lahu, and Elio says to them, Havu li porta de tivna, maybe you can give me a little bit of straw. The aldis itzi, my wife gave birth, the lesli medam laguna, I have nothing for her to sleep on, so maybe you can spare a little straw. Omar lo, Rabbi Akiva lintasei, Rabbi Akiva says to his wife, Chazi gabra dafilu tivna lo yislei. Here, behold, here's a man that doesn't even have what we have. So that relative to him, we're doing quite well. Of course, you can see how Elio had planned to instill upon them a feeling of satisfaction by coming and appearing this way. Omra lay, so Rabbi Kiva's wife says to him, Zil Havi Bey Rav. I want you to go to a yeshiva to study Torah. Ozal, he went, Havatarti, Sori, Shonin, Kami, to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua. He spent 12 years, and again, we emphasize this is with his wife's, not only approval, but it seems upon his wife's insistence. He spent 12 years learning at the feet of the great Tanoim Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Yeshua, Lemishlam Tarti Sorishonin, at the end of 12 years, Ka'osu Lebese, he was en route home. Shoma min Achore Bese, he heard from behind his house, the Ka'omar Lo Had Roshel Ibisu. There was a wicked man that was speaking to Rebbe Kiva's wife, and Rebbe Kiva overheard the conversation. Shapir Ovid Lech Avuch, the wicked man says to Rebbe Kiva's wife, you know, your father, in vowing that you shall not benefit from his properties, made a good move. Chado de lo domile. First of all, you married a guy that's not similar to you. He's not at your standing. He's of a lowly standing relative to your family. V'oid shavkoch, and furthermore, he abandoned you. Armulus chius kulin shonin. And look how he's abandoned you as if you were a widow. Like we call this a living widow for all these years. Omra lei. So the wife of Rabbi Kiva says to this wicked neighbor, E soyis ledili, if he would listen to me, referring to Rabbi Kiva, Levi tarti sori shonin achrenaisa, he should be another 12 years away in yeshiva. And this is all something that Rabbi Kiva overheard without actually coming into the house. Omar, Rabbi Kiva said, Hoyo v'yavis li reshusa, since she is granting me permission, ahader la'achorai, I'm going back. Hodar ozal, he went back, havatarti sori shoni achrenaisa, he spent another 12 years. Also be'esrin v'arba alfin zugi talmidi. And at the end of that additional 12 years, he comes back. Now he's been 24 years away. He comes back to his home with 24,000. The Girsa here in our Gemara says Zugi means pairs of Talmidim in Maseches Ksubis. And likewise in Maseches Yevamos, it appears that the 24,000 figure is simply 24,000 students, not 24,000 pairs. If you want to talk about pairs, you can talk about 12,000 pairs, which would be a total of 24,000 students. And as he approaches the town, Nofukuli Amalape, the entire community came out to greet him. V'afhi kamp lemepak lape, and she too, the wife, daughter of Akiva got up to greet him. Omar lo ahu rishia. That wicked man speaks up again, says to her, Ve'at lehecha, where are you going? You don't have any clothing that are fit to greet him. You're living in dire poverty, and all you have are rags. Omra le, so she says, Yodea tzadik nefesh behemto. Rashi, a little less than halfway down the narrow column, Yodea tzadik nefesh behemto, Isdamri dihi havis yado Rabbi Akiva haver. Some say that she knew this was her husband. The Omra lay, and she said to the neighbor, Delo mizganyo b'ayne. She is not going to be uncomely in his eyes. Don't worry. V'yistamri delo havas yada. Others say that she didn't know that this was her husband. Elohachi komra, the tzadik lo mevazilinchi. All she said is that a righteous man wouldn't denigrate anybody. So even if I appear in rags, there's no problem. The Ran says, Yodea tzadik nefesh bemte yodea hu zeh shenitzta'arti b'shvilo. That I will appear in rags is not going to be, it's not a source of any concern to me, because I know that he knows how much I extended myself, I suffered for his benefit, for his growth. The Gemara continues. Osis lizchazuyelei, she came to appear in front of him. So you have to simply imagine the scene of this great luminary with thousands of students accompanying him, and a woman in rags appears in his immediate vicinity. Komadchin lo rabbonon, the rabbis that were surrounding Rabbi Akiva tried to push her away. Omar Lahon, Rabbi Akiva recognizing her, he says to them, Hanichu lo, leave her be. Sheli v'shelochem, that which I've achieved, and through me, that which you've achieved, shelohu, belongs to her. It's all in her merit. Rashi, the Ran says, Sheli v'shelochem shelohu, torosi v'terasim v'shvilohi she. Nostali Eitzo Lameza Lebeirav. She gave me the counsel to go to Yeshiva. And I think that it's necessary to add, not only did she give me the counsel, but she encouraged and willingly put up with a situation that otherwise would be unacceptable, that a husband should be absent from his wife after they're already a married couple. But she insisted on it, and as a result, everything that we've achieved is due to her. Shoma Kalbo Savua. Kalbo Savua heard that a great man had come to town, and he knew that his daughter was suffering, was in dire straits. And he came also the Ichil Al Nidre. He came to have his the vow that was responsible in effect for his daughter's poverty. He came to have that vow rescinded. The Gemara continues. The ishtari. The vow was voided. The ishtari, we say, min nichsei. So with this, the vow was annulled, and permission to benefit from the property was received. Min shismili aser Rabbi Akiva. From six things, Rabbi Akiva became a rich man. The structural note that you see on the side features a triangle, and we've written Shishudvorim Shemehem His Asher Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara will enumerate them. Number one, Min Kalba Savua, from his father-in-law. We should point out that the story that we see here in our Masech, the Masech Hasdarim, is complemented by parallel stories in Maseches Ksubis and Maseches Yevomis. And we can point out that in the other Gemaras, you will when Kabbalah approached Rabbi Kiva, he in fact didn't even realize that this was his son-in-law, and he thought simply that it's a great man. And in the discussion that ensued between them, it turned out that Rabbi Kiva said to him, "Do you realize that the son-in-law that you had been so upset with is really me?" So here you see that eventually Rabbi Akiva became wealthy from the properties of Kabbalah Sevul, who, as we said in our introductory remarks, was a very wealthy man. Umin Elo Desvinta. The Ran, Elo Desvinta, on the upper part of the Ran commentary, Elo Desvinta, Bechol Svina, Hayois Dmus Ayel, Me Eitz, Le Nachesh, Le Simin. On the boats of their time, they made a carving, an image of a ram. And it was for good luck purposes. Shetea Sfina Kala Balichosa Ka'ayol. Actually, we translate it as a ram, but it's the word ayol is a creature that's rather swift-footed, might be in the deer family. V'hoyu memalin oisoi din reizov. And this carving was hollow, and they would fill it with gold coins. And the Gemara continues, the chosfinta avdin le min eina. Every boat, they would make this type of image. Zimna chada an shiwa al keif yama. One day, this Isle de Sfinta was left on the shore. So there was a boat that had this Isle de Sfinta containing a lot of gold coins, and they forgot it on the shore. That's Al Kef Yoma. Also, who, Ashkechei, Rabbi Kiva was walking by, and he found it. And as far as laws of returning lost objects, there are situations where there are no identifying marks, and it's left in a public area. Hence, he was entitled to keep it. So that, as you can guess, was a source of great wealth. Number three, Umin Gavza. Gavza is a box, like a treasure chest. What's the box referred to? The Zimno Chada Yahiv Arbo'ozuzi L'Sapunoi. The crown shape that you have here is here to highlight, as we see on the side of the Gemara, Shnei Maisim. There are two stories where you see a common theme, Yohiv Arba Zuzi L'Sapunoi, where four zuz were paid to seafarers, sea merchants. And in this case, Rabbi Kiva gives four zuz, not a large amount of money, to some seafarers. Omarlu, and he told the seafarers, I see li meidam. Take the four zoos and buy some, bring to me something. Velo ashu elo gavzo al keif yoma. All they found for the was a box on the shore. Asu ale, they brought him this box. Omru le, they said to him, Yavid marno ole, which means wait for us until we bring you something more than this. So in the meantime, Rabbi Kiva has a box. It doesn't even, from the story, it doesn't look like they used his money to buy the box. As it was a found box, and they told him, "Listen, we know you gave us some money. So wait till we bring you something for it." In the meantime, he has the box. Yishtakaf tavamoli dinri. He discovered that the box was filled with coins. Dezimno chada tavis svinto demin dasrukisa. On one occasion, a boat had sunk that was sailing from a place called Asrukisa. V'kuli iska have mochis ba'u gavza. And all of the money that they had made from their commercial affairs was placed in this box. V'shtakach ba'u zimno. And it was on this occasion that treasure chest filled with all of the money that they had amassed in their trade, in their commercial dealings, was washed ashore, and he found it. Rabbi Akiva. Number four, Umin Matronisa. There's a Rashi that reveals the story. The Gemara itself doesn't say much, doesn't say anything, in fact. The Rashi and the Ran also expound on this. So if we look in the Rashi, Umin Matronisa, Matronisa is a matron woman, an important woman. Shepam Achas, the Rashi says, Hutzuchamim Momon Harbi Lebeis HaMedrash. There was an occasion that the Chachomim, that the rabbis needed a lot of money for their yeshiva, for their Torah study center. The Shigru es Rabbi Akiva Eitzel Matronisa Achas, and they sent Rabbi Akiva on a mission to a very prominent, very likely, very wealthy woman, the Lova Mimeno Momon Godol, and he borrowed from her a lot of money. Ukshanosno lo, when she gave him the money, Omro lo, Mia li orev shetifra li lizman kavua. And she asked Rabbi Akiva, who will be the guarantor for this loan that will pay me back at a fixed time, at an established time? In other words, if you don't pay me back by this time, I'll have someone cover the loan for, cover the loan, pay me back. Omar lo, Mi shetirtze. You want someone to guarantee the loan, so whoever you want. Omro lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'hayam. So she says, I want God and the sea to guarantee this loan. Shoya beso asvas hayom. Her house was on the shore. Omar lo, Rabbi Akiva, Kenya. Rabbi Akiva says, so it shall be. Pshidiyaz man chol Rabbi Akiva. And when the due date to pay back the loan arrived, Rabbi Akiva took ill. And he was unable to bring her the money. The woman who had loaned the money went to the shore and she said, I put my trust into you and into the sea for recovery of my money. At that moment, the Almighty caused the daughter of the Caesar to go mad. And the Caesar's daughter went into the king's went into the Caesar's treasuries. And she took a box full of money, threw it into the sea. And that chest of money washed up on the shore right by that matron, by the woman of wealth. She took the money, she took the box. And after a while, Rabbi Akiva, when he got better, he brought her the payback for the loan. Omar, the Omar law, and he pleaded with her, saying, "Al yichar leich shelo evesi lacham umin bizman shekovanu shecholisi." Don't be angry with me that I did not bring the money on time. I had taken ill. Omar lo, so the matron, the matronisa says to Rabbi Akiva, "Ye'akol shelcha, all the money that you brought, keep it. Shemamoni ba liodi bizmano, the money that was owed to me came on time." Vesipolo kola maisa, she told him the whole story. Venosnalo matonis gedolos upotroso lishlom, and she gave him a lot of gifts and sent him off in peace. So that's a fourth source of wealth for Rabbi Akiva. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, Umin Ishtoi Sheltunis Rupus, and Umin Ketia Bar Sholom. As far as the story concerning the wife of Tunis Rupus, you see that you have both the Ran and Rashi elaborate on that. As far as the story involving Ketia Bar Sholom, that's a story that's featured in Maseches Avodah Zorah, and here we aren't going to elaborate on it other than saying that you can look up the story involving Ketia Bar Sholom in Maseches Avodah Zorah, Daf Yud Amud Beis. As far as Ishto Shel Tunis Rupus, we look at the Rashi on the top, Umin Ishta Shaltunus Rufus, Aldunechot Shishmo Rufus. There was a powerful man whose name was Rufus. Fahoya Mepatpe Bidivre Torah Keneged Rabbi Kiva. He used to challenge Rabbi Kiva in a scornful way over Torah, over words of Torah. Voya Rabbi Kiva Menatzchoy B'chol Pam. And Rabbi Kiva would defeat him in their debates every time. Voya Oysa Adon Misbayesh. And this guy, Rufus, used to be embarrassed. Vova Siper Li Ishto. And he told his wife about his negative experiences with Rabbi Kiva. Amr Lo. So the wife of Rufus told her husband, Ani Afateu, Vachshileu, leave it to me. I will seduce him and cause him to yield to my seduction and cause him thereby to stumble and, well, say, be exposed for his immorality. She was an extremely attractive woman. She came to Rabbi Akiva and she revealed her leg, and of course that would be something very seductive. And you know what? V'rok Rabbi Akiva v'sochak u'bocha. At that moment, Rabbi Akiva spit, laughed, and cried. Omrlo madua sita kain. So she asked, why are you reacting this way? Omrlo shnaim omar loch. For two of my actions, my behavior, I will explain to you. Number one, Mashir Akati Bishir Shemitipa Srucha Bos. Rabbi Kiva was so had so much inner strength that he, though she acted in a very alluring fashion, he recognized that she, like every human being, comes from a droplet of it's what's called tipa srucha, a disgusting or a foul smelling drop, a reference to the seed through which man is born, and ubachisi. And I also cried. Yes, you're an extremely attractive woman, but as all people, when they die, they decompose and become the dust of the earth. But as far as his laughter, he didn't want to tell her. Nevertheless, she insisted. Ad Shomalo, until he, Rabbi Kiva, revealed to her, Shasida Lizgaya Vatinosilo, you know, you are going to convert to Judaism and you're going to end up marrying me. Omralo v'chiesh tshuva. She says to him, is there any repentance possible? Omralo hein, yes, there is. V'nizgayro li'achar shemeis bailo. She converted after her husband died. V'nisei slow and married Rabbi Akiva v'vialoi momon godol and brought to him a lot of money. So so it is with regard to Rabbi Akiva's amassing of wealth. Rabbi Akiva, a truly amazing figure. If one just thinks about everything that he went through. And lest us not forget his eventual end, his very tragic end, but at the same time very dramatic end. The Gemara continues, Rav Gamda Yohiv Arbazuzi L'sapun L'sibuhun Midam. Again, as we saw on Omer Aleph, here we have another story of four zoos being paid to the Sapunoi, to the seafarers, in expectation of them bringing him something. Lo ashkehu, they didn't find anything. Asur le bahon koifa. So all they brought back to Rav Gamda was a monkey. Ishtamet, and the monkey escaped. Ol chorsa, and the monkey ran into a hole. Chofru basre, they dug into the hole after the monkey. Ashkehua de revia al margalaisa. and they found the monkey lying on a margalisa. Margalisa is some type of very precious entity, whether it's a precious pearl or a precious gem. Aisinun le kulhon. Actually, the margalisa should be, we should have explained it in the plural, that the monkey was lying on a lot of these pearls. And they brought all of them to Rab Gamda. The Ran mentions Ol Lecharsa Nichnas HaKoyf Bechor Echad Bekarka. The monkey ran into a hole that was in the ground. What Rashi points out. And the Ran in the lower half of the page, the Ran says, "Aisinun le kulhon." The seafarers that had originally bought the monkey for Rav Gamda, but it ran away, and they dug after it, finding the monkey lying on the pearls. Mimidas chasidus. They didn't have to bring Rav Gamda all of the pearls. Velo min hadin. What they did here was an act of kindness, but not something that was necessary by letter of the law. We go back to the Gemara text where we encounter a diamond marking. You'll notice that we have two long markings, two meisim, two incidents. And on the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei Mivneh heading, we have a diamond, and we indicate Shnei meisim. There are two stories. Number one, Torah Mefura B'Kli Mechor. The title of the story can be the glorious Torah contained in an ugly vessel. Mais Rishuben Chanan Yubita Shel Kesar. A story here, and a parallel story appears in Maseches Tainis involving the Tana Rabbi Yishuv ben Chananya and the daughter of the Caesar. Number two, Isha Shevo Lizdayin B'fnei Rabbi Yehuda Nardo, story involving a woman coming for judgment in front of Rabbi Yehuda from Nahardo. The diamond that you see on the side with a, well, shaded in tip, that is Hadgoshas Milos Kesher. We're going to be highlighting, we'll say, points that enable us to connect the two stories. The Gemara, Omra Le Bas Kesher Rishu Ben Chananya. The daughter of the Caesar said to Rabbi Yishuv Ben Chananya, who was a noted luminary of his time, she says, Torah Mefura B'Kli Mechor. The glorious Torah, even the Gentiles recognize the greatness of the Torah, and she commented, how is it that the Torah, which is so glorious, is contained within you, a person who is very uncomely? Rashi, the Rosh on the first line of the wide lines underneath the Gemara, you can see the Rosh says B'kli Mechor Shor Shachar. That he was of a very, strange complexion, indicating maybe extreme poverty. He was considered a kli mechor, an ugly vessel. So that's her reaction, and he says, Omar law, he said back to her, Limdi mibeis avuch. If you're asking about how can it be that the glorious Torah is contained in such an ugly vessel like myself, well, why don't you draw a lesson from your own father's practice? Bameh manichin yayin, in what do they store wine? Wine is a very, desirable and at times a very expensive beverage. What are they stored in? Amar lah b'moni b'pachra. So she says they store it in clay vessels. Amar lah. So Rabbi Yeshua says, Kulei alma b'pachra. I understand that everyone else stores it in clay vessels. V'atun b'moni b'pachra. But you too, the Caesar's house, keeps it in cheap clay vessels? Atun achisun b'moni d'kasba v'dava. You should store wine in vessels of silver and gold. Oslos v'romas chamra b'moni d'kasba v'dava. She went and transferred their wine supply to vessels of silver and gold, v'sori, and it went sour. Notice the word sori and sour, very similar words. The wine went bad. Of course, as anyone who has any familiarity with wine, wine is not to be kept in silver and gold vessels. Omar lo, af oiraiso kein. Just like the wine, so too is the Torah, that it's kept best in cheap or undesirable or ugly vessels. Omro le, so she asks, Voiko Shapirin Ugamirin, aren't there people, Torah scholars that are attractive, that are good looking and also knowledgeable? Omar lo, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Chana says, I havu sonu havu gemirin tfe. And this line requires further analysis beyond the translation. On the very simple level, is that if they were sonu means, ordinarily means were hated, but it means in this case if they were ugly, they would be even more learned. There is more to look into as far as this is concerned. We recommend looking at the Tosis in Maseches Tainis Daf Zayin. There's a comment that you can see here in the Tosfos commentary, which is on the lower part of the Tosfos commentary. Those Torah scholars that you claim are ugly, if you claim are good looking, if they were ugly, they would be even more learned. But as we said, beyond that, you have an explanation that says if it's true they may be good looking, but if they would have the attitude that good looks aren't something to pursue, you would find then that they would direct more efforts to their Torah learning than they are even now. We turn back to the Gemara text. Hahi da asya lekamed Rav Yehuda min Nahardo ledina. There was a woman that came to Rav Yehuda from Nahardo for a legal case. Vischaivus min dina, and she was found to be guilty. Omra lay. So the woman says to Rav Yehuda, Shmuel Raboch. Shmuel, your teacher, your instructor, would he have judged thusly? Omar lo. So Rabbi Yehuda says to the woman, Yadisleo, you know him? Omro Leyin, yeah, I know Shmuel. Gutsa verabo krese. He's short and he is obese. Ucham verabo shine. He's dark and he has big teeth. Omar lo, livzuye causes. So Rav Yehuda says to the lady, if you come to disparage him, teve hahi itza b'shamta. And Rabbi Yehuda declares that you, this woman, should be excommunicated. Poko meso, she split and died. The reason that we've used the diamond marking, as you can see, is in the story involving the Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya. We highlighted the word mechuar. Here we highlighted the first of the words describing Shmuel as being uncomely. Hence, you can see the connection between these two incidents. The Mishnah Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph had said, "Be'umuter be'beitza turmita." With reference to someone that had vowed Tavshil Shani Toyim, vowing not to eat or partake of a Tavshil, the Mishnah says such a person, though, is allowed to partake of Beitza Tormita. The Gemara asks, "My Beitza Tormita, what is that?" The Gemara responds, and we used a long point marking, and the topic that accompanies this, the topic heading is Hezber Lamao Beitza Tumita and Luzka Mishnah. What in fact is that? What is a Beitza Tumita? So the Gemara continues, Omar Shmuel, Avda David Law, Shavi Alpha Dinri. Any servant who can make such a thing is worth 1,000 dinar. The marking that we have here, the bow tie shape, is used to create a sense of connection between this Gemara and that which follows later when the next bow tie appears. So Shmuel says, if you want to know about a Beitza to meet, then one thing I'll tell you straight off is that anyone who can prepare it, a servant, a slave who could prepare it, he's worth 1,000 dinar. D'mayo lo alfa zimni b'mayo chamimi v'alfa zimni b'mayo kriri. The egg is put 1,000 times. My guess is in an alternating fashion, 1,000 times into hot water and into cold water. Ad demitzutra, until it shrinks, until it is in Hebrew we say mitztamek, until it shrivels and shrinks to become very small. Kihechi debal isa, with its extremely reduced size, a person would be able to swallow it without chewing. Vim is bay kiva, if a person is suffering from some type of digestive problem. The Rashi says, "V'is be kiva b'meyav." If he has a kiva in his stomach, maybe something like an ulcer or some type of infection inside. Sorich Allah, it will cling unto this. Fikad nafko v'asyo, and when this comes out, shrunken or contracted egg is such that it will emerge from a person after he relieves himself with this kiva infection that was in him sticking to it, cleaving unto this shrunken egg. Yeda asya mai samo misbi'ile uva mai mitzi. Here's something fantastic. A doctor then will analyze this egg, which has emerged with the kiva, the infection, or the pus, or whatever, the mucus clinging to it. And through analyzing it, the doctor will know what type of potion or medicine is to be prepared, and how the person can achieve, how a person can recuperate from this digestive ailment. Shmuel, who happened to be a doctor, have a bodik nafshe bekulcha. There are different explanations as to what kulcha is. The Rosh has a simple explanation. Kulcha is the beitza's turmita that we just mentioned. There's another explanation that it's called, it's a kelach, kelach shel kruv, which means the inner stalk of a kruv plant. When looking at this, it reminds me of people who were capable of swallowing swords, a certain trick or a technique, not a trick, but a technique that people have mastered. So Shmuel would, if he was suffering from this digestive disorder, he would subject himself. He would check himself out, as we just described, in an attempt to have the kiva, whatever it is, if it's pus or mucus, cling unto this kulcha. And while he was doing it, it affected Shmuel to the point that he appeared to be passing out. And that caused great, concern and worry on the part of members of his household, including his wife. Ad demasterin inshibese ole sarehon. Literally, they were so upset and worried that they were pulling hairs out of their head, out of their great worry. And as we said, that while Shmuel was subjecting himself to this check, it made him dangerously and worrisome in the eyes of the family. As we said, he was appeared to be passing out, and they thought that he might die, and hence the great worry on their part. Tanan Hossam. We have a Tanaic source, and just a word of background. This is a reference to a worker who works in a field who is, by Torah law, allowed to eat from the items that he is working on. So if he's picking apples at harvest time, he's allowed to eat from apples as he is working. So the source says, Hoya oise beklufsin. Klufsin is a type of fig. A worker who is, harvesting these klufsin. Lo yoichal bevnois sheva. He's not entitled to eat from another type of fig called bevnois sheva. Even though they're both in the fig family, you are entitled to work only on that. You're entitled to eat only from that you are actually working with. And bevnois sheva, if he's working with, if he's harvesting bevnois sheva type figs, lo yochal beklufsin. My klufsin, what is klufsin? Mino de te'eni de avdin minhon lifti. It's a type of fig that's used in cooking, in making different dishes. Hahu gavro de yaiv avdo lechavre lagmure alfa mine lifta. It was a man that gave his servant to a friend in order to learn 1,000 different dishes, 1,000 different recipes. Agmere tamni mea. The servant taught him 800. The Gemara doesn't spell out, but let's assume that the friend gave over his servant in exchange for pay. There was a type of deal worked out that I'll give you my servant in exchange for something. The deal was that the servant would teach him 1,000 dishes. He ended up teaching him a mere 800. And the customer, the one who hired this slave, Asmene Ladino Lekame de Rebbe. He summoned the owner of the slave to appear in a court case to be judged by Rebbe. Look, I hired him to teach 1,000 and he only taught 800. There's 200 that are missing that he didn't teach me. Omar Rebbe. This house marking that we've used, we indicated before in our Mivneh heading, is a marking to connect two incidents. So the case comes to Rebbe, and Omar Rebbe, Rebbe reacts, Avosenu Omru Noshinu Tova. Our forefathers said, we have forgotten many things. Anu Afilu Be'einenu Lo Ra'inu. We never even saw these things. What Rebbe was saying in so many words is, what, you expected to learn 1,000 dishes? Aren't you satisfied with 800? Whoever heard of 1,000 dish, 1,000 different recipes? The Meforshim on this, you can see together in the Ran's commentary, toward the very end of the page, Avosenu Omru Noshinu Tova, Kiriftiv Noshisi Tova, Hoya Toma, that's Rebbe was amazed, Al Shihu Kokach Bemine Tanug, how immersed this person was in pursuing pleasures. As if to say, aren't you satisfied with 800 different recipes? Let's turn back to the Gemara. And on the side, we have a topic heading, and it reads, Nisya Nisov Shel Bar Kapora. These are attempts on the part of Bar Kapora, who was a contemporary of Rebbe, Lahavi Rebbe Lidei Schok, to bring Rebbe to a point of laughter. the impression you get is that Rebbe was an individual who never laughed, never, let's say, openly expressed joy or lightheadedness. We'll see a little more about that as we go into the Gemara. But do take note that we have a long marking that we call Rebbe Ubar Kapora. This is a very long marking. As you can see, it goes down more than halfway down Nun Aleph Omen Aleph. Rebbe Ovad Le Hilulo L'Rebbe Shimon Rebbe. And again, you see the house marking, and you can see why, how this connects us to the previous incident. The double underline is explained on the side under the Mivne heading, Hilulo L'Rebbe Shimon Rebbe. This double underline is used as well to connect with the Gemara on Amud Beis. So we see that Rebbe, who is preparing a wedding for his son, Kosav al Beis Ginona, he wrote concerning this wedding, Esrin v'arbo alfin riboyin dinrin Nafku al Beis Ginono Dain. 24,000, that's Esrin Va'arba Alfin, Riboyin. Now, Riboyin is a number 10,000. So, at face value, it would appear that you would have to multiply 24,000 by 10,000 dinrim coins. Were spent on this wedding. Velo Asmene Lebar Kapora. And Rebbe did not invite Bar Kapora. On this, Rashi says, Lo Asmene Lebar Kapora, Lefishoya Ish Batron. He was a man of humor. Umisyore Shemiase Shum Dover Shishokin. Rebbe was worried that Bar Kapora might humor him, Rebbe, to the point that Rebbe would laugh. You might ask, what's so bad about a little laughter? Let's just wait a few more lines in the Gemara to see what the point is behind Rebbe's efforts in trying to avoid laughter. In the meantime, Bar Kapora was not invited, and Bar Kapora felt, say, slighted by the fact that he wasn't invited. And it's not as if there wasn't an available portion for him, as you can see how much money was spent in preparing this wedding. Omar Lay, so Bar Kapora says, Im li oivrei ritzoinai kach, and here he's deprecating Rebbe by referring to him as a sinner. If sinners merit so this, meaning so much wealth, li'oisei ritzono achas kama v'kama, you can only imagine how much more so will those that do the will of Hashem will receive. And as Rashi says, hoyeshoyim meganehu al shelo zimno, he was insulting Rebbe, referring to him as an oivrei ritzonoi as a result of his not being, of Bar Kapora's not being invited. Well, Rebbe reacted, Asmanei, and he invited him. Now he's invited, so what's Bar Kapora going to say now? So Omar, Bar Kapora says, Li'oisei ritzono b'lamazeh kach, look at those that fulfill the will of Hashem, how much they merit in this world. Li'olam abo al'chas kam v'kama. You can only imagine how much those that do Hashem's will receive in the world to come. So here he's praising Rebbe as an Oisa Ritzonai of Hashem. And now the Gemara reveals what was behind Rebbe's demeanor, his behavior. Yuma de Mochich Bei Rebbe, the day that Rebbe would laugh, that the day that Rebbe would, let's say, experience enjoyment or pleasure in this world, Asya Puranusa Li Alma. Punishment, evil will befall this world. We should point out that Rebbe, and you can see more about this in the 7th perek of Bava Metzia, Rebbe, and also in Maseches Ksubis, that Rebbe was a person who, though, was fantastically wealthy. The Gemara says on Daf Kuf Gimel, approximately, in Maseches Ksubas, that upon his death, Rebbe raised his 10 fingers and says, let it be known that I enjoyed nothing of this world in any of my 10 fingers, so to speak. So that, as a result of Rebbe's forbearance from pleasure, that served to spare the world from any suffering. So those were very good years for the world while Rebbe was alive, and as we said, not himself enjoying any aspects of what this world has to offer by way of ta'anugim, by way of pleasures. So, with all of that in mind, you can understand how Rebbe did his utmost to avoid laughter, which would be a sign of his yielding to the earthly pleasures. In fact, I believe the Gemara says that all the years of Rebbe, the world did not need any rain. The Gemara continues, Omar le Labar Kapora. So Rebbe says to Bar Kapora, Lo Tavdichon, don't cause me to laugh, V'yaivna loch arboin grivi chiti, and I will, in exchange for that, give you 40, grivi is a measure, let's say 40 sa'ah of wheat. Now, Bar Kapora apparently comes from a different philosophy. And as we hinted to before, he was a humorist, and his approach was not like that of Rebbe's. So Bar Kapora says, Lech Seymor, you will behold the chol, we're at the top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, the chol griva deboino shakilna, that whatever amount of wheat that I want, I will get. Shokal dikulo rabo. So Bar Kapora took a large basket, chafya kufra, he smeared it with pitch, it's a lining material, so that there'd be no holes left in the basket and through which wheat kernels would otherwise fall out of. The sachfe al reshe, and he put it on his head, the ozal. So you have Bar Kapora, who, by the way, was a major Torah scholar, a contemporary of Rebbe, as we see in the story, from the end of the Tanaic period. And he comes with a basket, a large basket on his head, the ozal, the omar lei, and he says to Rebbe, lichil means measure out, lichili mor, arboin grivi chiti, de rashino boch. I want you to measure out the 40 grivi, 40 measures of wheat that you owe me. Now, this caused Rebbe to laugh. Achuch Rebbe. Rebbe laughed. Omar lei, and Rebbe says, Lav azartoch delo tavdechon. Did I not warn you not to cause me to laugh? Omar lei, chiti de rashino ka nasivna. What do you want from me? All I'm coming for is to, I'm demanding the wheat that you owe me. As you can see, the Gemara continues with more regarding the Bar Kapora Rebbe meeting. Omar le Bar Kapora le Barte de Rebbe. Bar Kapora says to the daughter of Rebbe, Lemochor Tamoro Shasino Chamro Berikuda de Avuch Ubekirkani de Imoch. You'll see me drinking wine while your father, it's Rebbe, dances, and your mother is involved with kirkini. Now, there are different meforshim on what kirkini means. Rashi says, while your mother is filling me a cup of filling up my cup, and the Ran says, while your mother is singing. Interesting. The Ran's suggestion that Bar Kapora will be drinking wine while Rebbe is dancing and Rebbe's wife is singing. Ben Elosha Chasne de Rebbe Havi. Rebbe had a son-in-law. We're getting acquainted a little bit here with Rebbe's family. We made mention of Rebbe's daughter, and now Rebbe's son-in-law. His name was Ben Elosha, and the Gemara describes Ben Elosha as the son-in-law of Rebbe, the Osher Godel Havi. He was also a very wealthy man. Asmenei lebehi lula de Rebbe Shimon Rebbe. You see the double underlining here is connected with what we saw on Amud Aleph. And on Amud Aleph we saw the wedding of Reb Shimon Rebbe was a wedding that Rebbe expended a great amount of money for. So in making this wedding, he had invited his son-in-law as well. Omar Le Bar Kapora Le Rebbe. The presence of Ben Elosha will figure later in the Gemaras. That's why it's mentioned here, as we say, in anticipation of something later. Bar Kapora says to Rebbe, "My toyeva." This is a word that appears in the Torah in the context of the forbidden homosexual relations. The Torah uses the word toyeva. We often translate toeva as something that is disgusting, something that's reprehensible. But Bar Kapora was an expert in we'll say etymology or word analysis, and he asked Rebbe, what is the meaning of that? Whatever Rebbe suggested was the meaning of toeva, Bar Kapora refuted it. Omar le, so Rebbe says, parshe at, so you explain it. Omar le, Bar Kapora says, tesi divisri tirmili natla. I want your wife to come and fill up a cup of wine for me. Osos Ramule. This, by the way, could be a support for the Rashi commentary that Kirkenit Imoch that we referred to before was the mother of Rebbe's daughter coming and filling up cups of wine. So Bar Kapora says, you want to know what toeva means? I want your wife, Rebbe's wife, to come and fill up a cup for me. Also, Ramule, she came and filled up his cup. Omar le Rebbe, kumrakod. Now I want you to get up and start dancing. Kumrakod li di emarloch. I want you to start dancing for me in order for me to say what it is. You see parenthetically is to what extent Rebbe was interested in knowing the meaning of a Torah word. Let us not forget that Rebbe was the Nasi Hador. He was the leader of the generation. He almost had kingly status. But when it comes to understanding Torah, even one word in the Torah, all of that can be compromised for the sake of knowing Torah. And that's what you see here. So Rebbe was given, we'll say, a type of ultimatum. If you want to know what it is, then I want you to start dancing. And he does. Hochi Omar Rachmona, Toyeva, Toye Ata Bo. The Torah is saying, when two men try to cohabit, you are making a mistake. And as the Ran says, Shemeniach Mishke Veisha, the normal way of mankind, is for a male to cohabit with a female. And you, the homosexual, is abandoning Mishke Veisha, the cohabitation with a woman, V'holech Etzel Zohar, and going to a man. So you are making a mistake. That's what the Torah is saying to the individual who wants to violate Mishkav Zohar. The Kosachrina, Omar Le, my Tevel. Now we're up to another cup, and Bar Kapora poses a question to Rebbe. What is Tevel? The word Tevel is a word that appears in the context of a woman cohabiting with an animal. Bestiality. Omale ki inyona kadmo. The same thing as we saw in the story before, he says now. Omar le, evid li, di omar loch. So, what we saw in the story before was that Rebbe was suggesting explanations of what the word tevel means, and Barakabo was refuting it, and at this point, he says, Barakabo says, evid li, di omar loch. I want you to do for me something in order for me to tell you. Ovad. And he did. And as we suggested, it's simply a repeat of what we saw before. Bar Kappora insists on Rebbe's wife filling up cups, a cup of wine, and Rebbe should start dancing. So, Amale, Tevel Hu, the expression of the Torah, when it says Tevel Hu, Tavlin Yesh Bo, Mishanya Hoda Bio Min Kulon Biois. We take a look at the Rashi. The word tavlin has to do with a spice. So the Rashi says, "V'chi tavlin yesh b'klomar yesh b'biozu tam mi ba'acheros shemanachas ba'lo v'nirbas l'beimo." Is there some kind of special, let's say, pleasure in the cohabitation with an animal that motivates the woman to abandon her husband and yield to an animal? All of that, of course, in a tone of wonderment. One might suggest, as by way of the juxtaposition of this Gemara, that once the say basic standard of morality is compromised, as you probably guessed from man cohabiting with woman and then going to man, two males cohabiting with one another, it's a hop, skip, and jump until people, mankind, then cohabits with animals. Basically, it's all in the same boat. And you can see that from the way the Torah deals with them, contrary to, as this recording is being made, contrary to certain, we'll say, unfortunate popular perceptions that find such a comparison unacceptable when it comes to looking at the Torah and the psukim and the oinshim and the punishments that the Torah refers to. You're dealing with all of these aberrations are in the same boat. And you could see the possible explanation, as we're suggesting, the juxtaposition of these two points of analysis. And even more so, the Gemara Nagal goes on, and you'll see what all this leads to. Omar Lay. So Rebbe asks, Umai Zima. What does that word mean? And here, even though there's a note on the Torah Or that we're talking about a posuk in Vayikra, the Rashi in Dibur HaMaschil Zumahi makes reference to to another posuk, which says Umola Haaretz Zima. The world becomes filled with Zima. Now, Zima, as you can see from the reference to Vayikra, is a word that appears in the context of immorality. So, here, we want to know what's behind that word. Omar Le, so Bar Kappora says, Ivid Kinyona Kadmo. I want you to do like we did before. Ovad, and it all repeated. The Omale and Bar Kappora reveals, you know what Zima means? Zu Mahi. And here we really have to look at Rashi for a fuller explanation. Zu Mahi, Umeforsh B'Yavomus, in Maseches Yavomus, this is explained in the following context. B'ishabo al Noshim Harbe, a man who has intimacy with many different women. V'chein Isha Shinivalo la Noshim Harbe, and a woman that yields to many different men. V'eino yodas me'ez mehem nis abra. And she doesn't know who fathered the child. I'm sure I'm sure some of you probably forgot for a moment that we're reading a text that dates back, if you look at Rashi, you're talking about 1,000 years, and if you're looking at the Gemara, you're talking about 2,000 years, and you probably think that you're reading something from written in today's newspaper. Some things just never change. So a situation like that, where there's total promiscuity, total looseness in these areas of morality, the result is nimsa av noiseis bito veach noiseis achoso. A father will end up marrying his daughter. Man impregnates a woman, and the woman has a child. She doesn't know who the father was, and the girl develops, and the man who actually fathered her can end up marrying her. And likewise, ach nosias achoso, you'll end up one man impregnates two different women, and they have children not knowing who the father is, and you in effect have a girl and a boy who have a common father can end up marrying each other. Al zeh ne'emar, and regarding this, the Torah says umola haoretz zima. The world is filled with zima klomar. The word zima is zu mahi. Meaning this, who is it? Or Shein Adam Yodea Oisa Isha Shunose, man doesn't realize the woman that he's marrying, im muteraslo im lav, if she's allowed or not. And if I may just editorialize for a moment, something I try not to do in the context of Gemara markings daf yomi shiurim, but the message that I take from this Gemara is that once you allow any breakdown in the realm of say traditional morality, I say traditional, I hold up the, we'll call it the Torah standard of morality. Many people claim, listen, what I do in my private life, of what concern is it to anyone else? And based on that, people justify Mishkav Zohar, the practice of homosexuality, and people will justify bestiality, and the end result is, we'll call, a total breakdown in morality. And people can claim, like, so what? So what? That mankind ends up living like the beasts in Central Africa. If that be the case, let it be known, number one, the Almighty will not stand for it. Societies, and this is a function not of religion or a function of belief, but simply a function of knowledge of historical facts, societies that descended into this abyss vanished from the stage of history. Time and time again. It's almost a repeat scenario. So that in all due respect, and there isn't really much respect due to those who make light of all of these matters, make light of talks concerning morality, they should at least be aware of that historical phenomenon. That even with the, though they claim that this is each one's private matter, each one's internal affairs, and it's no one else's business, well, we have news for you. The Almighty, who sits in heaven, who sees that which takes place in the privacy of each one's home, and all the more so when it becomes publicly acceptable, he will not allow that society to continue. And if people think that this is old-fashioned, well, predating the Torah, there was the generation of the great flood in the time of Noach, and that is exactly what was happening then. So if anything is old-fashioned, not that old-fashioned is necessarily something negative, but those who view old-fashioned as something negative, let me assure you that the ultimate old-fashioned is, in fact, societies like this where there's total promiscuity, total moral breakdown. And the eventuality of that, though, may not be a flood inundating the entire globe, but erasure from the stage of history is certainly to be expected. The Gemara continues, after witnessing Rebbe yielding to Bar Kappora's, antics or tactics, Lo Yochel ben Elosha leMizbal, ben Elosha, Rebbe's son-in-law, couldn't tolerate it. Kom v'nofak, hu v'intisei mitamon, he and his wife, that would be Rebbe's daughter, got up and stalked out of the wedding. The Gemara asks here, my ben Elosha. And Rashi says, from where do we know that ben Elosha was a rich man? The Sanya, and here you'll get a sense of background to that. The Sanya, lo lechinon pizer ben Elosha es ma'isov. It was not for naught that ben Elosha spent a lot of money. Elo laharois behen tispoir shel kohen gadol. Apparently, ben Elosha hired some type of expert beautician, hairdresser, who was capable of replicating the hair style, the hairdo of the Kohen Gadol. Dichtiv, the Pasuk, regarding the hairdo of the Kohen Gadol, says, Ksoim yiksimu es rosham. That's a Pasuk. Tana ke'ein lulyanis. And a Tanaic source, it's the haircut was ke'ein lulyanis. My lulyanis. What do you mean by that? Omer of Yehuda, tisparta yechidsa. A special haircut that there's the likes of which you will not find elsewhere. Hechidami, we're getting very curious. So what did it look like? Omer Rava, roishe shilze b'tzad ikoro shilze. Each hair tip was bent over to the root of the next hair. The rush, you can see on the wide line, first wide line of the rush under the Gemara, Ksoy Miksim was Roshem, Kesemes is a grain, like a wheat grain, a barley grain. This Kesemes is Sheroishoi Shelze Betzadi Koro Shelze, where the tip of a lower grain reaches the bottom of the next grain. Ubekoin Gadol Airi. This Pasuk is referring to the Kohen Gadol, and he goes on to prove how this Pasuk, this Ksoim from the word Kosemes, which is that grain, is a reference specifically to the Kohen Gadol. So we go back to the Gemara. And it concludes saying, "V'hainu tispurs shel kohen gadol." The ksom yiksimu esrasheim. This special haircut was the haircut of the kohen gadol. And in order to do that, there are many thousands of hairs on a person's head, and to cause each one individually to be bent over to the root of the next hair is something that would cost a tremendous amount of money, and Ben Elosha had the means, and he did so to show what the Kohen Gadol's hairdo would have looked like. The Gemara points out that elsewhere, that a Kohen Gadol had his hair done or cared for once a week. And that was in order for each new service group of Kohanim, there was a changing of the guard every Shabbos, and the Kohen Gadol would be there to greet them, and he had to look his very best. The Mishnah had said that one who is nodir min atafshil is allowed to partake of dlas haramutza. My dlas haramutza, Omar Shmuel kora karkuzoi. Kora is a type of vegetation from that area, karkuzoi. Ravashi Omer Dlas Atmuna Beremetz. Ravashi says it's not a reference to a vegetation from a particular place, but it's the method of preparation. It's a Dlas, a type of vegetation that's buried into remetz, into coals or ash, and through that it becomes cooked. Esve Ravino Ravashi. Ravino raises an objection to Ravashi's explanation. Rabbi Nechemya Oimer. Delas aromis, he delas hamitzris. The delas that's known as the delas aromis is the same as a delas mitzris. Kilayim im hayavonis, kilayim im haramutza. If you were to grow these together with a delas aromis, together with a delas remutza, you'd be in violation of the laws of mixed breeding, of kilayim. But what's important for us to see is the term remutza is not at all a description of the way something is cooked, but rather it's a reference to a specific type of delas plant that would conform to Shmuel's approach, kora karkuzoi, description of a kora that grows in that place, as opposed to a method of preparation, tiufta. This is a refutation of Rav Ashi's explanation. I would like to point out just parenthetically that Rav Ashi he's not coming out of nowhere when he said Hatmuna Beremetz, because the term Remutza, you can see the word Remutza has in it the words Remetz, which the letters that is Remetz, which indicates coals. But nevertheless, on a factual level or on a technical level, Delas Remutza is not a method of preparation, but rather it's a specific type of vegetation. And with that, we end up refuting Rav Ashi's explanation. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.